Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is episode 69. It's January 6th, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. In every episode of the Wealth Studying Podcast, I try and teach you from one or more of the 10 wealth building principles. If you're not familiar with those, please go back and listen to the first 10 episodes of this podcast. That's where I lay out the foundation of my philosophy and my practices about how I've built my own personal wealth, and more importantly, how I attained my personal freedom over these past nearly 30 years. The wealth building principles aren't something I read in a book. They're not something I learned at university. They're my own life experiences. So they may not be right for you, but I can tell you that's how I got to where I am today. In a nutshell, wealth just doesn't happen. There are no get-rich-quick schemes at work. It comes down to three simple elements: learning how to earn, and then being a disciplined saver, and then finally, the last step, is using wisdom and understanding to be a successful investor. In a nutshell, I believe in building wealth the old-fashioned way, which is working for it. If that's what you're interested in, then you've come to the right podcast, particularly if you're looking to build freedom and independence, because I like to say, money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. Well, in today's episode, I'm going to cover listener questions about Obamacare. Many people have asked me to comment on what I think about Obamacare in general, possible investment opportunities, and then what I see long-term as a trend in healthcare overall. So that's what we'll cover today. Before we do that, I do have a couple housekeeping announcements. One thing I wanted to mention is that I will be attending the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. I won't get into the details of that, but if you're familiar with that industry, you'll know what that show is. I just mention that because if you're planning on attending, get in touch with me. I'll be meeting with a small group of guys on Thursday evening for dinner. If you're interested in attending that, I'll get you that information. There's nothing formal planned here, just a bunch of guys getting together, but you're welcome to join us. And like I say, if you are interested, I'll get you that information. Also, if you happen to be in the Vegas area, or if you are attending the show, I have a pretty open schedule through the week. I just plan on walking the show, talking to vendors. I'm there on a research project to get a feel in general where consumer discretionary spending is going, and then in particular, what might be the investment opportunities and the profit and future of companies like Storm Ruger and Smith & Wesson. So my schedule's pretty open. Let me know if you'd like to get together. Maybe we can do a quick meetup or have a drink or sandwich together during the day. The other thing is, I'd like to gauge interest and see how many of you might be interested in linking up with me through some type of a video chat or a video conferencing. I'm thinking most likely the easiest way to put this together, at least initially, would be through Google Hangouts. Now, this is something that would be free. There wouldn't be any charge for it. There would be limitations, though. You know, for example, if we use Google Hangouts, I think I can only include 9 other people. You'd obviously have to sign up and have a Google account. I'd probably schedule something like this on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning, which incidentally tells you a lot about my social life. But I'm thinking if we did meet up, this would give it an opportunity for you in real time to ask me some questions. Again, this is going to be limited to probably only, 10 people or so, less than 10 people. So I'd be selective in who I chose to offer this to. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking I would first select the people that have gone out of their way and left us a review in iTunes. So it would probably be open to those people first. But in any case, some people have mentioned it. I just want to poll the audience, see what you think about it. If it's something you think is valuable and you'd be interested in attending, then get in touch with me through the website, wealthstudying.com. If there's enough interest, perhaps I'll put one together through Google Hangouts, and then depending upon how that goes, we could arrange more of them. Well, hey, let's get right into our topic. Let's talk about Obamacare. First of all, my personal opinion, I think Obamacare is disastrous to not only our healthcare but our freedom. But Obamacare in and of itself isn't the problem. We've had at least 50, if not more, years of government meddling with our healthcare system. The system is broken, and in my opinion, the only way we're going to fix that is by letting it be a market-based system just like everything else is. As long as we have government meddling in it, we're going to have an inferior, poor system. As long as we have third-party payers, whether they be insurance company or whether they be the government, the system will remain broken. Think about everything in your life that you like and that you enjoy. Think of everything in your life that operates in the free market where you have choices. You can go out and buy whatever type of brand name car that you desire. You can go out and buy used cars, or you can buy new cars. You can buy a Ford, or you can buy a Mercedes. You can buy a hybrid, or you can buy a 4-cylinder, or you can buy some high performance, 12-cylinder engine. It's your choice. It's only based on your preference and what you can afford to pay. That's why I would say for the most part, people are happy with their choices in automobiles, and overall, we have a thriving transportation system. Now, I know some of you right away are going to say, yes, but you need healthcare. Well, you know what? You need transportation. You need housing. You need food. You need everything. Whenever the government gets in and meddles with things, they screw it up. Now, in this podcast, I don't want to take the time to debate my ideology around this. I'm just going to take it as a given that I believe that free markets always work best. The farther you move away from a free market, the farther you move away from things like quality, service, and choice, and ultimately freedom. And again, I'm not putting all the blame on Obamacare. The medical system's been screwed up all my life, at least 50 years. It progressively keeps getting worse. It may have to get totally broken before it gets fixed. And as far as getting fixed or how you apply it in your own life, that's what we're going to talk about here as we wrap up the podcast. But think of our current medical system, whether it's Obamacare or not. Again, this goes back decades and decades. Basically, if you get sick enough and don't have any money, you don't have to pay for your health care. Now, I know that providing free health care, helping those in need, is a laudable goal. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a system like that. I'm just saying the current system is broken. Let me draw this analogy for you. I mentioned being at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Well, let me tell you how the free market of lodging works. When I'm in Las Vegas, I'm going to have a multitude of overnight lodging opportunities. Everything from sleeping in my car to renting out a room in a penthouse casino where I'd spend, I don't know, $10,000 a night for like a presidential suite or something. I don't travel in those circles, so I have no idea what the upper limit is, but I do know, like I mentioned, that the options range from basically being, you know, homeless and staying in my car all the way up to the extreme high end, as much as I want to pay. And because when it comes to lodging, the free market reigns, well, then there's all kinds of opportunities in between. I can stay in a flea bag hotel for maybe $25 or $35 a night, and trust me, I know they do exist in Vegas. Or I can step it up and have more of a middle class existence and maybe stay in a hotel for $100 or $150. But it's up to me to pay the bill. No landlord, no hotel owner, no casino owner is required by the government to let me stay for free. Nor does the government give me a voucher or an option to stay for free. So I get to pick and choose what comfort level I want to have and what fits into my budget. That's how the free market works. That's ultimately how healthcare will work someday. That's the way it used to work. If you had a lot of money and you could afford the best, then you received the most expensive health care. Not necessarily the best, but at least the most expensive. I mean, think about George Washington, right? He was not only the president of the United States, but one of the richest men in the country. And in his day, he could afford the best health care available. But what was the outcome? He died because of poor health care, because his doctors were quacks. And although he was suffering from strep throat, what ultimately killed him was the medical treatment he received, which is bleeding. They bled him, it caused his body and his immune system to be weakened, and the strep throat killed him. That's most likely how we think he died. Now, I know that's an example from a couple hundred years ago, but it can still be applicable today. Just because you have money and just because you can buy doctors and buy medical treatment does not mean you're going to receive the best treatment. There are plenty of quacks and shysters out there and people that are happy to take your money to perform procedures on you that don't do anything to increase your health or your quality of life. Again, I'm not going to go into the details, but I think many of you know what I'm talking about. You can look at the money that we spend in America on all different types of health care, but those outcomes don't necessarily make us any healthier. It doesn't necessarily extend our life. I mean, just compare us to other countries that spend significantly less. So what I'm saying here is if you have a lot of money, you'll be able to afford the most health care. If you're poor, if you're destitute, then you're not going to be able to afford any health care, and you're going to have to rely on the charity of others. That's the way health care used to be. I suspect that when this country goes broke enough, we'll return to a system like that. The fact of the matter is, though, that that's the way free markets work. It's just a fact of life. People with the most money have the most things. We don't live in a utopian society. And I base this on my life experience in the different countries that I've traveled to, and just what I know about human nature, is that the poor person, the destitute person, they get taken the best in markets that are operated on the most free market principles. Because it's those free market-based societies that generate enough wealth to create a society that's generous enough to donate to the charities and fund things like health care for people that are poor and destitute. When the government comes in and mandates things and takes away from one person to give to another, it ultimately ends up not only providing bad service, but encouraging class warfare, which ultimately destroys a system. That's where I think we're headed with the current health insurance model in the United States. It's not all Obamacare's fault. Obamacare is just one more nail in the coffin. Eventually, the system will fall from its own corrupt weight. Now let's think about my lodging situation in Las Vegas. Remember I said I could either sleep in my car or I could stay at a $10,000 a night hotel room. It's my choice based on my preference and what I can afford. But what if lodging, what if hotel rooms, what if they were mandated just like healthcare? What if I could go down to Vegas, I could go to a casino, and all afternoon and all evening into the wee hours of the morning, I could gamble and I could drink and I could spend all the money I had on booze and playing cards and playing slot machines, and at 2 or 3 in the morning, I was broke, I was drunk, I was tired, and I was hungry. What if I could go to any hotel or any casino and require them to put me up for the night and to give me a meal? Well, you would say that's absurd, but that's exactly what happens with our current health insurance situation. An individual can go out, live whatever lifestyle they want, make whatever poor choices they want, not take care of their health, and when they get sick, all they have to do is go to an emergency room, and they can't be denied care, and they can't be forced to pay the bill. That's the bottom line, and that's why the system's broken, and it's not going to get fixed until that's changed. Right now, because of Medicare, Medicaid, CHIPS, Good Samaritan laws, all those kind of things, if you're a child, you can get free health care. If you're elderly, you can get free health care. If you're poor, you can get free health care. There are no incentives to stay healthy and to pay your own bills. That's why the system's broken, and that's what has to change. In my conversations with people, the people that are happy with Obamacare are largely that way based on political ideology. The only people that I really see that are benefiting from it are people that are in the middle class. It's that small sliver of people that were kept out of healthcare insurance because it wasn't provided by their employer, or they had some kind of a pre-existing condition where they couldn't afford to get it on their own. And so the subsidies and the mandate that doesn't allow insurance companies to discriminate on prior conditions, it helps that small group of society that can afford to pay for it. But the person in the lower income brackets, the people that thought that they were going to get something for free or something that for nothing, or people that don't have the income to pay the premiums, they're no better off with Obamacare than they were before. Their kids are still going to be on a CHIPS program, and they don't have enough income to pay premiums for themselves. So when they get sick, they'll either go to the emergency room and get treated but won't pay the bill, or it'll get turned over to Medicaid, which is what they did before Obamacare. The two groups of people that I really see dislike Obamacare are the very young, and then people like myself that are self-employed. Prior to Obamacare, I had my own self-funded high-deductible medical insurance. I wasn't ecstatic about it, but it did provide me with some choice as far as what providers I chose, and it gave me protection from a catastrophic illness. But once Obamacare became law, my policy wasn't good enough, and so my insurance had to be canceled because it didn't meet the minimum standards. And as a consequence of that, the basic policy that I could purchase now in the open market is more than 50% what I was paying in premiums before. Those higher premiums are required because I'm required to cover additional services that I don't want and don't think I need. For example, things like mental health counseling for alcoholism or something. Well, I don't drink, so I really don't care about that. My wife now has to carry medical insurance for pregnancy and pre- and postnatal care. Well, let me tell you something. Mrs. Pugliano is in her 50s. She's already given birth to 6 children. I can assure you that those are services that we no longer want and, in fact, are scientifically and physically impossible to happen. But you see, that doesn't stop a government bureaucrat from making me pay for it. So that's why people like myself, small business owners, people that aren't covered by corporate plans, we're very unhappy with Obamacare. The other people that don't like Obamacare are the young. I've talked to many young adults that were under the impression that healthcare was going to be free or that they'd have to pay a very small premium for it. However, once they've gone into the system and they see what it actually costs, they're shocked. They're surprised that in many cases they have to spend $1,000 or several thousand dollars on premiums, and then they're not covered until their deductibles exceed $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. These are healthy young adults that are just starting out their working career, and they're realizing that Obamacare is a real drain on their ability to build wealth. I would say most, if not all, of the young adults that I've talked to are opting not even to sign up for Obamacare, and they're just going to pay the 2% or whatever penalty it is. Their income isn't enough where it really makes a difference. So they'd rather pay a $400 or a $600 fine with their taxes than have to pay $100 a month for a premium and then not get any coverage until they meet their deductible of, you know, $6,000 or $7,000. They'd rather just save their money, and if they have an illness, they'd rather take their chances and take that $6,000 or $7,000 that they've saved and pay for their medical treatment out of pocket. This summer, the Supreme Court will again be looking at Obamacare, this time from a different perspective. If you remember last year, they ruled that Obamacare was a constitutional tax and it was allowable. Justice Roberts joined the 4 liberals on the court, and it was a 5-4 decision. This summer, the court is being asked to review the law and see if it's constitutional on the basis of the federal government providing subsidies if the states decide not to participate. This could be a way for the Republicans to throw out Obamacare, and now since they control both houses of Congress, they could have their chance to rewrite the bill. I have no faith that they'll do any better job than the Democrats did. Again, we need to get to a market-based system, but I do think it's a really viable possibility that the Supreme Court will vote this down. Remember, last time it was a 5-4 decision, and that's only because Roberts, who's a neoconservative, sided with the liberals. We know that the conservatives on the court, Scalia, Thomas, Alito, they're definitely going to vote to throw it out. So that's 3 votes. If Roberts joins his conservative brethren, that'll give them 4 votes. And then it'll come down to Kennedy, who's always considered as a swing vote. Personally, I think he's schizophrenic. But that would do it. Roberts, Scalia, Thomas, Alito, and Kennedy could basically nullify or throw out Obamacare, and it would have to go back to the Congress to be rewritten. I'll tell you why I think that's likely to happen. And I'll tell you also why I think the Democrats, although they'll be protesting and they'll be acting like they don't want that decision, they'll actually be happy for it. Because this will happen over the summer. 2016 is a presidential election. If Obamacare gets thrown out on technicalities, it'll give the Democrats the opportunity to rally their troops and get them all excited and exercised to go to the polls in 2016 and vote for a Democrat. I mean, let's face it, 8 years of Obama have disillusioned the Democratic base. And although they're not even happy with Obamacare, they're not happy with the premiums, they thought they were going to get something for free, something for nothing, and that's not the case. It is a step in the freebie healthcare system that they envision for the utopian society, and so they'll fight to try and keep or preserve it. That'll bring them to the polls. The other thing I think that the Democrats will use to buy votes in 2016 will be forgiveness of student loan debt. But we'll talk about that in another podcast. I don't like to make predictions, but that's my prediction for this summer. I'm betting that we see Obamacare get thrown out. And then that crisis will energize both political camps. Both the Republicans and the Democrats will think they'll be able to whip their people into a frenzy and get them to the polls in 2016. But you know, in this podcast, I like to tell you to concentrate on the things that are within your sphere of influence. And none of that is within our sphere of influence. So I want to wrap this up by talking about possible investment opportunities that are in the healthcare sector. And then finally, I want to talk about what you can do in your own personal life to lead towards more free healthcare decisions. Well, for those of you that want to make money off the healthcare system, the healthcare industry, or Obamacare, I think you're out of sync with the market. Earlier this year, healthcare stocks, biotech stocks, things like that have really done well. In fact, if you remember back, I don't know, I think it was in the spring, Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen even called out things like the biotech industry and said that they were overheated and irrationally exuberant prices. Well, a lot of those stocks corrected and came down over the summer. But then since the pullback we had in October of 2014, they've actually done very well. Most of the biotechs, the medical device companies, and the medical insurance companies have really all had a really nice pop in the last 2.5 months or so. So personally, right now, I'm not invested in any of those type stocks, nor do I have any on my watch list. I will say, however, that with this current correction that we're in, if some of those big name stocks do pull back, there could be an opportunity to get in at a secondary buy point where they bounce off their 50-day or their 200-day moving average. Now, as always, I don't provide advice or recommendations on this podcast, but I'll throw out some names for you. If it were me investing in the healthcare industry, I would play it safe. I stick to known entities, companies that have been in business for a long time, companies that are profitable, companies that have solid balance sheets. I'm not interested in penny stocks or, you know, companies that might have discovered the latest or newest cure for cancer and they're still in phase 1 testing for FDA, you know, certification. I stay away from those things. I stick with known entities. I want to limit my risk. So I think one of the better ways to play Obamacare and the current medical situation that we're in is perhaps the health insurance sector, particularly those that are insurance companies that have teamed up with healthcare providers. That's really where the future of this crony capitalist market is headed, where you see the insurance companies buying out local hospitals and local doctor organizations and basically putting together these mammoth HMOs. Now, I'm going to throw out a couple names for you. These, again, are not stocks that I own. These are not stocks that are currently on a watch list. But these are stocks that appear to be favored by the market and appear to be being purchased by institutional investors. Aetna Insurance Company, they seem to be favored by the large institutional investors. Centene is another managed healthcare services company. That's ticker symbol CNC, Charlie November Charlie. They seem to have a lot of institutional investor support. Molina Healthcare, that's ticker symbol Mike Oscar Hotel. They appear to be favored by the large institutional investors. WellCare Health Plans and Express Scripts Holdings, that's ESRX, Echo Sierra Romeo X-Ray is their ticker symbol. All those companies that I mentioned, they're pretty much in the insurance and possibly in the actual ownership of providing the medical services. They're big names. They appear to be stable. It looks like a lot of the large institutional investors are holding those positions. But as I said, I'm not owning them now. I'm not buying them now. They're not even on my watch list. I don't like their current stock action. Remember, right now we're in a market correction. 70 to 75% of all stocks are moving down. These insurance companies and health providers are following that downward market direction. What you might want to consider with those is watch those stocks over the coming days and weeks if the market continues to fall apart, after those stocks get back down to at least the lows that they made in October, or even better, hopefully lower than that, and they're down below their 50-day and their 200-day moving average, and they look like they're maybe bouncing back up, that might be a time, you know, a secondary entry point, an opportunity for you to buy in. Again, I'm not offering any advice or recommendations. I'm just putting that out there for your own education, something for you to watch and to look at. You don't want to buy these stocks when they're at all-time highs, particularly when the market is as uncertain as it is. Personally, another way that I would play this if I were going to invest in healthcare companies, I might pick a mid-cap company that focuses on a chronic disease, you know, something that's well-established, something that we know as, you know, the baby boomers age, they're going to become more susceptible to. And that would be, for example, a disease like diabetes. The science behind it is pretty well-established. It most likely isn't going to change drastically and put anybody out of business. And there are enough companies out there that specialize in that field that have a long track record where you could perhaps feel, you know, safe investing in. So I'll throw out a couple names there, and I will caution that none of these names that I'm talking about, again, none of them are at a buy point currently. And unlike the other insurance companies that I just mentioned, none of these stocks necessarily right now seem to be favored by large institutional investors. So again, the fact that the market's in a correction and that institutions don't appear to be buying these stocks is yet another reason why you would just want to put these on a watch list and look at them, but not invest at this time. But I do like investment opportunities in chronic conditions like diabetes and the companies that supply those drugs and ancillary products. Dexcom is one company you might want to watch. Another is Tandem Diabetes Care. And then two others I'll throw at you is more of a wild card play. And this is where we pull in not only the current trends in healthcare, but then also the appreciating and high U.S. dollar. Remember, the U.S. dollar is going to favor countries that export into the United States. So let's look at two diabetes healthcare providers that are headquartered outside the U.S. Perhaps they'll have a competitive advantage. As the U.S. dollar strengthens, these companies may be more favored over their U.S. competitors. So Novo Nordisk is an example of one of those diabetes companies. They're based, I believe, out of Denmark. And then the other is Sanofi, ticker symbol SNY, that's Sierra November Yankee. They're based out of France. So there you have a two-way play. Healthcare services, as well as a competitive advantage that they'll have from the increasing dollar. Again, not making a recommendation or offering advice, simply throwing some investment ideas out there for you. But let me wrap up on what I think is really important. The most important thing for your ability to build wealth and for your happiness and freedom is for you to take care of your health. So I'd encourage you to live a lifestyle where you practice moderation. Be moderate in your diet. Be moderate in the activities that you engage in. Try to take care of your health. Keep your weight down. Eat healthy foods. Get some exercise. Stay away from risky behaviors and activities. You see, whether you have access to health care or whether you're getting free health insurance or have a low premium, you're ultimately going to be happiest and freest when you're healthy. And if you look at the diseases that debilitate Americans, most of the cancers and the chronic diseases like diabetes, they're lifestyle based. They're preventable. And remember, we want to deal with the things that are within our sphere of influence. How you exercise and what you put into your mouth, you control that. You don't control who's in the White House. You don't control who's in the Supreme Court. You don't control the crony capitalists that run healthcare and run the insurance companies. But you can control your lifestyle. So when it comes to probably more than 75% of the chronic conditions and the diseases that you can get, you have a great deal of control over them. And then those other, 20 or 25% of things that are just based on genetics, well, you know what? You either win or lose that lottery. Again, it's out of your sphere of influence. There's nothing you can do about that. So don't worry about it. Focus on what you can control. Try and lead a healthy lifestyle. And then when it actually comes to selecting your healthcare and selecting your insurance, this is where I think that industry is going to go. And it's not going to happen this year or next year, but long term, we know that our medical system, our medical insurance, our government, they're all bankrupt. So eventually we'll have to go to more of a market-based medical delivery system. And that's good news. Because you know when you have a market-based system, you get better quality, you get better service, and you get better choice. I don't have to explain that to you. If you're going to ship a package, you know you're going to get better service going down to the UPS store than if you go to the post office. But you have to pay to play, and that's just life. That's reality. We're adults. We're not expecting Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy to provide us with health care. So let me tell you what I think is going to happen long-term from a market-based system. And that's that ultimately, I think people in the middle class and upper middle class, and definitely the people that are filthy rich, they're going to carry high deductible catastrophic insurance, things that protects them if they're in a car wreck and, they break their neck and they become a paraplegic or quadriplegic, or if they're walking down the street and they have a major heart attack and they're rushed to the hospital. Those kind of catastrophic things, the things that insurance is meant to provide for. We're going to have a catastrophic plan that covers those things. And then when you get an ear infection or when you get bronchitis or something, you'll just go to your doctor, the doctor that you'll choose, or maybe an urgent care clinic, and out of pocket, you'll pay $100 or $200 for that visit. Okay, so you'll be provided on the day-to-day things that you need by paying out of pocket. The real high-dollar ticket items, the heart attacks, the accidents, they'll be paid through your catastrophic insurance. But all the elective care, all the elective surgeries, the hip replacements, the knee replacements, all those type of things, all those type of things that currently are covered by Medicare and Medicaid, I think a lot of those things are going to go away. And if they don't go away, just because of the sheer number of the baby boomers, they're getting old and getting sick and need medical attention, the waiting list for those things are going to be so long if you wait on the government to provide them for you, that if you're middle class or upper middle class or definitely the wealthy, you're not going to sit around and wait for that. And so you're going to choose healthcare providers where you can go get boutique services, and you're either going to pay for that directly out of pocket, or there'll be some type of supplemental insurance that you're going to be able to buy to cover that. Now, sadly, because of the greed and the envy and the covetousness that we currently have in the United States, you may have to go offshore. We may make all that stuff illegal in the U.S. or are so hard and cumbersome to produce that only the super wealthy get it. But for the middle class and the upper middle class, there are going to be options. You might have to go to Mexico to get it. For those of you that are familiar with medical tourism, you know those kinds of things are happening now. I know many people that have flown down to Mexico to have dental work because it's so much less expensive. I've known people that have flown to India to have elective surgeries done. That medical tourism, that's going to grow. That's going to increase. And there are going to be entrepreneurs that find ways to make it more accessible. Don't be surprised if someday hospitals open up on our Indian reservations, where they're free to operate outside of the mandates of Obamacare and the FDA and things like that. Don't be surprised if you see floating hospitals, if you see these cruise ships that are set up just to provide elective medical surgery. You board them in any port city in the U.S. They sail off into the ocean just far enough to get out of the constraints of the United States government, and then they provide medical services for you. This is what's ultimately going to happen. And the market will make it affordable for the middle class and for sure the upper middle class. And like I say, the wealthy, they always have available to them whatever they want anyways. If you're not familiar with this, go ahead and Google medical tourism. Like I say, countries like India, you'll see there's a lot of options for that right now. And for those of you that don't think that a market-based system will work, we'll just look at what's out there in the market today. LASIK eye surgery, most of it not covered by insurance. That's widely accessible to people in the middle class. The prices have either been stable or have come down, while other medical treatments that are covered by the government and by insurances, they've gone up every year. Medical procedures like LASIK eye surgery or like elective cosmetic surgery, those prices have either been stable or have actually come down and made it more affordable where the average person in the middle class can go out and pay for those services out of pocket. Those are thriving industries, and there's no reason that healthcare in general couldn't perform so well. If you want to see a hospital in the United States that's trying to make an impact and trying to have a market-based economy, then you need to check out Surgery Center of Oklahoma. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. You can just Google it and you'll find it. Now, I don't have any connection with these people. I just know what I've heard from other people and what I've read from people that have experienced this. Surgery Center of Oklahoma looks like the kind of model of what I'm talking about for a free market system. They publish all of their prices, and they're the only hospital that I'm aware of that does that. If I get sick and I have to go in and have my appendix taken out, or I need tonsils taken out for my kid, or I need a bunion taken off my foot or whatever, I have no idea what it costs me. Whether insurance is paying for it or whether I'm paying for it out of my own pocket, I can never get a hospital or healthcare provider to tell me what the final bill is. There's the doctor charge, there's the anesthesiologist charge, there's the hospital fee, there's biohazard disposable taxes added on. There's all kinds of hidden fees. You never get the right answer. Even after you've had the service, you know that if you're paying for it out of pocket, you have to battle with the hospital and the billing company to get charged a reasonable rate where you're not paying $1,000 for an aspirin that they gave you. And although it's not as cumbersome if you're going through your health insurance company, you have to fight a lot of those battles yourself or turn it over to the insurance company and let them fight for you. It's a disaster. But check out the website of Surgery Center of Oklahoma. They have all their prices listed. Most of the prices on the website, from what I can tell, cover the hospital facility fee, the surgeon's fee, and the anesthesiologist fee. Now, if you need extra items or you're going to stay overnight or all those different things, obviously it's going to cost more. But I think if any hospital in America is going to be able to give you a good estimate about what your surgery is going to cost, it's these people. Again, I'll have the link on the show notes for this episode. But you can go to their website and you can pick out whatever type of procedure you need. And you can either click on the body part or you can select from a list of categories. Let me give you an example. As far as the cardiovascular system, if you need a femoral popliteal bypass graft, and I have no idea what that is, but if you need one of those, it's $10,700. If you need a pacemaker put on your heart, it's $11,400. That includes the device and the leads of the pacemaker. If you already have a pacemaker and you need a new, battery for it, it's $7,600. If you need a cochlear implant in your ear, $8,800. If your kid shoves a pencil or an M&M or something in your ear and you need it removed, well, you go to Surgery Centers of Oklahoma and they'll charge you $1,500. If your feet are bothering you and you have a hammer toe, and I'm not sure exactly what that is either, I heard old people talk about it, well, that's $2,475. If you have a benign tumor in your breast and you need that operated on where it looks like there's a couple of choices, I don't know all the different medical terms, but it's going to cost you somewhere around $2,000. If you need a mastectomy, $5,000. You see, it's all there. It's all on the website. You can choose. Imagine if you could do that in your neighborhood. Imagine if there were 3 or 4 hospitals where you live, and you had to go in for breast surgery, and you could choose not only by their reputation and by the quality of the service they offer, the outcomes, but if you could actually see the price and you knew that Hospital A was going to charge $6,000 and Hospital B, which had just as good of a reputation, and they were only going to charge $5,000, well, you'd go to Hospital B the same way you do it when you pick a hotel room or buy a steak dinner or buy an automobile. But you don't have that choice in our current medical system, and that's eventually going to change. I only hope that I live long enough to see it and get to experience it. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I wanted to give you my opinion on Obamacare. I wanted to give you my opinion on where the system was going to go. I wanted to talk a little bit about possible investment opportunities, stocks that you could buy into. And then ultimately, I wanted to talk about your personal freedom and how your lifestyle choices are going to have more of an impact than what goes on in Washington. That's the way we look at things when we lead a wealth-steading lifestyle. As always, if you have questions or concerns or you want to get in touch with me, you can do that through the website, wealthsteading.com. Until our next episode, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.